that. We're in Galatians chapter 5. Last 2 weeks, we took some time to celebrate world missions. And so now we're back in Galatians chapter 5, asking the questions, what does it look like to be more and more like Jesus? What is a Christian life all about? What are the qualities that the Holy Spirit, who has come in to me once I put my trust in Christ as my Savior, what are those qualities that he's developing in me? And it is called the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. It is a fruit, singular, with 9 different manifestations, but we know that there's more, because at the end of the list, Paul says, makes a statement about such against such things there is no law. For instance, the quality of humility is not included in these 9. And so we know there are other things, but these are the basic 9 that our Lord wants us to exhibit as we try to become more and more like him with the Holy Spirit's help. Okay, so here's how it goes. The Holy Spirit comes in. We still have our old nature. That sets up a battle, right, between the old nature, the old flesh, and the new nature in the Holy Spirit. And we will fight that battle until the day that we die. But we have the privilege, according to Galatians chapter 5, of walking with, step-by-step life with the Holy Spirit, depending on him to bring out these qualities in our life. And we've been going through them. We've covered love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness. And we are down to goodness. Goodness. And so I want to just very briefly share some thoughts on goodness with you today. Now, here's the thing. Our friends, our neighbors that don't know Christ as their Savior, they would not understand a lot of our theology, a lot of the biblical truths that we hold dear would be foreign to them. And even words like redemption and sanctification and, justification and words like that. But you know what people understand? They understand a changed life. They understand a life that is not like a normal life. And that's what we're talking about when we speak about being controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. They understand love when a person loves somebody who is unlovely. They understand the quality of patience that permeates a life that causes us not to blow up when others let us down. They understand those things. They understand joy when that joy is exhibited in the midst of sorrow and tragedy. Those kind of things communicate. And the scriptures say those are the kind of things that draw people to Christ. That when they are in our lives, they adorn the gospel. They dress up the gospel and want people and makes people want to say, what do you have? I want what you have. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just so we can feel good about ourselves. It's not just so we can lead a more successful life. It's not just so people like us, right? It's not just about us. It's about communicating God's truth to other people, attracting people. It's for the glory of God, attracting people to the gospel. Well, so the question then becomes, how am I doing? How well am I doing in cooperating with the Holy Spirit to bring out these qualities in my life, right? Am I cooperating? Am I resisting? What can I do more to cooperate with him? And so we get into this quality called goodness. And goodness defined is just this, a deep down virtue of moral sweetness, moral excellence. The New Testament writers, a lot of times, would take a word that was already part of their culture and they would hyper it with a new spiritual meaning. Right? They did that a lot. This is not one of those words. This is a word they made up out of the blue. Okay? They did not have this word in classical Greek. And so they just they just made it up and then they applied it to God. And so we sang today, what? God is good. God is good. God is good to me. What does that mean? When you think about the whole idea of somebody being good to you, you usually think of practical things, don't you? You usually think of things that people have said to you, things that people have done to you that are very practical, you know, very genuine, just a deep down kindness that goes beyond the norm. Now, let me start with you. Well, let's look at, while we're here in Galatians, let's look at the verse that we've been covering, 5:22, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So there you have it, in case you needed reminding. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. In Romans chapter 15, Paul gets to the end of his epistle to the Romans. And in verse 14, here's what he says about them as a church. He had never been there, by the way. He'd never seen them, but he had heard reports of what was going on, what they were doing with their newfound faith. And here's what he says, Romans chapter 15, verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of what? Goodness. You're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Now, he just got done writing them a long letter explaining a lot of truth and then the application of that biblical truth to their lives. And he gets to the end and he says this, I have confidence that you're going to do this. You're filled with goodness. Wouldn't that be a great banner across the front of any church? You are filled, you are a church that is filled with goodness. I heard some of those reports this week of good things that people in this church have done for one another. And I just want you to know how much that blesses my heart. Sometimes I can't share the specifics because of just confidentiality and personal reasons, but I am blessed to be part of a congregation where this kind of goodness is shared between people, and I want to thank you for that. And I myself I'm on the receiving end of many of those things. You know, after people have forgotten every sermon they ever heard, they will remember the acts of kindness and goodness, right? And we are challenged, we're exhorted in Scripture to do that both within the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. In fact, if you go back to Galatians and look at Galatians chapter 6, here's where that is spelled out. Galatians 6, I have totally lost the verse. Oh, there it is. Verse 10, Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, and I want to say I love Ephesians where it says, buy up the time, use up the opportunity, right? Because the days are evil. There's bad stuff happening all around us. So bad stuff creates what? Opportunity. To do good stuff. You know what I mean? So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So there's that practical goodness that we're talking about. Let me give you one example of that, and I'll close because our time has gone quickly this morning. Go over to 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, First century culture, here's a surprise for you, did not have a safety net that we enjoy in America. Now, I know our safety net is imperfect. I know that a lot of times it does not work for some people, but for the most part, nobody in America is starving, right? If they want to eat, they can find enough to eat. If they really want a roof over their heads, unless they live in L.A. or San Francisco, then you can have a roof over your head, mostly. So anyway, you know what I mean when I talk about a safety net. Well, the New Testament didn't have that, and so widows were the responsibility of the church. But there were qualifications to be a supported widow. Not every widow in the church got supported financially. They had to meet certain qualifications. And I want you to notice what those are, because it just follows on the description that Peter gave to the folks in Cornelius' house the first time that the Gentiles heard the gospel from Peter. Specifically in Acts chapter 10, one of the things that he said to them about Jesus is that he went around doing good. He just went around doing good things for people, right? And so that's what we're talking about, this quality of goodness. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5, beginning in verse 10. Oh, let's start in verse 9. Let a widow be enrolled. Okay? Some widows were enrolled, some were not. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband. Okay? I could expound on that, but it would take me too long. And having a reputation for good works. Okay? Here's the rep. Right? She has a reputation for goodness, good works. What does that look like? Okay, here's what it looks like. Here's what goodness looks like. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, that's that's first century Christianese for sacrificial service for people who need it. Okay, washed the feet of the saints, lost my place, washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. See? You see the practical aspect of goodness that they were looking for in order to say, this widow is worthy of being supported by the church. Right? She was a single mother, and she brought up children according to the discipline and instruction of the Lord. She looked around her for the needs of others. She wasn't just overwhelmed by her widowhood and her single parenting, but she reached out to other people. She showed hospitality. She was involved in sacrificial services. She cared for the afflicted. You see that? That's just plain, unadulterated goodness. So I'll end with a quote from his brother. Who's Charles Wesley's brother? Yeah, that one. All right. I can't find it. Hold on. That's what I get for writing on both sides of the paper. Okay, here it is. John Wesley. Many of you have heard this before. Nothing new. John Wesley, do all the good you can, by all the means that you can, to all the people that you can, for as long as you can. That's goodness. Let's pray. Father, we want to be people who exhibit just practical goodness in each other's lives and in the lives of people who have yet to come to Christ. Pray that our lives would be so changed and so different in such a good way as we've been studying the fruit of the Spirit, that people would just sit up and take notice. We want this for your glory, not ours. We believe the scripture that says that let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we don't want glory for ourselves. We don't want accolades for ourselves. We want glory for you. We want people to be attracted to the gospel, that they may know you, the only true God. Help us as we examine our lives and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in being all of that and much more. In Jesus' name, amen.